Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and reading for our text, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we believe, Lord, that You have a purpose, You have a plan. And all them that have been called to that plan, according to those that love You, You said that all things shall work together for their good. I pray, Father, that as we would examine this scripture tonight, we might have a better understanding of what it means that all things would work together for our good. And so we commit this service, this breaking of the bread, this communion service, we commit it all back to Thee in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. From the masterpiece, paragraph 7, Brother Branham said, "It's grand to be here and to be assembled with this church full of people. I wasn't expecting hardly anyone here this morning because I didn't hardly know myself that I was going to be here. We just got in from Philadelphia, and so I come in thinking that I was going to have to go to Arizona right quick to have a funeral service for a friend of mine, Captain Jim Mosley, a very precious godly boy that I led to Christ not long ago, the three Mosley brothers. And one of them fell and was in a plane the other day and was killed instantly, laid in a fire for about 10 hours before they got to them. So, leave, 28 years old, his wife 26. And when they got him in, then they had to bury him the next day. So I just didn't get to go. And I wrote, I just wrote out what I had to say and sent it by telegram what I was going to say or what I would have said at Brother Mosley's funeral. And some of these brothers we can't understand, but yet he makes everything work just right. We're here in service of the Lord this morning knowing that we believe God, that we believe that He'll make everything just exactly right, regardless of what it is and how it works out. We know it's got to work for good. He promised that. It's just got to be that way. Sometimes we can't understand that. It gets very complicated at times, but yet we know that it's the truth because the Bible says it's the truth. And the Bible to us is God in letter form. Now we got to place our faith somewhere. And if any of us in life try to make a success in life and become many times a millionaire, but what are we going to do with that? We got to come down at the end of the road, and what good is it to us then, you see? And money is a script. It's an exchange, but you can't exchange it for life. Only God has life. And so we see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now the word together means to cooperate. So we find that all things are willing to cooperate. And the word also means fellow worker. So all things become our fellow worker to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the word good, it means benefit. So they work to our benefit. Concerning the called, those who have been appointed. And verse 29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So the whole plan of God comes down to predestination, election, foreknowledge. It comes down to God knowing beforehand, selecting out beforehand, knowing the trials and tribulations you'll have beforehand, and knowing and planning that all things shall work together for the good. It has to do with His knowing and those that He does know and those that He did foreknow before the foundations of the world. So what is foreknowledge? The word foreknowledge is made up of two words, fore being a prefix meaning beforehand, and the word knowledge meaning to know, hence to know beforehand. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, we read, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. So foreknowledge was translated from the Greek word prognosis, which we talk about prognosticators. Those are people that look into the future. It means to forethought or prearrange or to know beforehand. Now from questions and answers, Brother Branham said, before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost. I want you to think about that, especially if you're praying to receive the Holy Ghost. Because it said, before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost. Because he knew that you'd be wanting it. The Bible tells us that he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, that's right wiseness, shall be filled. So if you want the Holy Ghost, then you need to hunger and thirst after that which is right. Right wiseness. And Brother Branham says, because he knew that you'd be wanting it, and he chose you in himself because you desired. He chose you in Christ before you or Jesus or any of you was on the earth. And he sent Jesus to die to prepare the way to send the Holy Ghost to bring you to himself. Oh, that's just, well, this is the church, so I'm at home now, see? Oh, that is so rich, to think it's not what I wanted. It wasn't my desires, it wasn't my will, it wasn't my choosing. I had not one thing to do with it. But before the world ever started, God saw us and put our name on the Lamb's Book of Life before there was even a world. Talk about God. And from the message, Why Cry Speak, Brother Branham said, many times when we look at the scriptures, in our way of looking, it seems very hard. But if we study a little while, we find out that the all-wise God knows just what he's doing. And he knows how to do these things and how to deal with men. He knows what's in man. God knows more of what's in you than he knows than you know of what's in you. God knows what more is in you that can be tested and tried and overcome than you know how much is in you to overcome. He said he knows him. We don't. We only know from the intellectual side. He knows what's really in the man. Moses was born in this world as a gifted boy. He was born to be a prophet, a deliverer. He was born with the equipment born in him. As every man that comes into this world is born with this equipment. As I firmly believe in the foreknowledge of God, the predestination, not that God is willing that any should perish, but all might come to repentance, but being God, he had to know and does know the end from the beginning, see? And if he doesn't, then he isn't infinite. And if he isn't infinite, he isn't God. So he wasn't willing, certainly, that any should perish, but he, knowing who would perish and who would not perish. Now, why do you think he knew that? I believe he placed in those that will not perish that something needed so that they wouldn't perish, so they wouldn't be deceived, so they wouldn't be pulled off, so they wouldn't fall away. Because we do live in that hour of the great falling away. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that which is within the veil. Paul says we have a hope set before us. And yet we find in Romans chapter 8 that Paul says that which we look for, that which we hope for, he says in verse 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now the word hope means an earnest expectation. And we're saved by having an earnest expectation. The attitude of those in the last days, according to Peter, was, they said, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers, William Branham, fell asleep, all things continue. It just things go on and on and on and on and on. And pretty soon they get bored with the message. And what happens? They fall away. They say, where is the promise of His coming, His parousia? Where is the promise associated with this great presence of God? What is it doing for me? Paul says we're saved by hope. We're saved by having an earnest expectation within us. You know, if there's no earnest expectation, then there hasn't been a revelation. You've been a good church member, maybe. You've attended church. But you see, if you have revelation, Paul said there remaineth faith, hope, love. These three. Faith is revelation. Brother Bram told us that. Hope is an earnest expectation which springs forth from that revelation. And if you don't have a hope, then you don't have a revelation. And if you don't have revelation, you don't have hope, then how could you have love, which is a outward manifestation of that revelation? It's an outward giving. It's an expending of your own self for the cause of God. But if you don't have any revelation of what the cause of God is, how are you going to expend yourself for it? And how will you have an earnest expectation from it in order to expend yourself for it? That's why there's a great falling away. From this day the scripture is fulfilled. Brother Bram said, I had something to happen last night, that, or yesterday afternoon rather, that was really kind of strange to me. And I'll be brief because I don't want to take my brother's time as he's going to speak, but I suppose it's kind of a complimentary to my ministry. I watch little things. Just every little thing has a meaning to me. And I don't mean that, I don't believe that that anything happens to a Christian by chance. I think it's ordained of God, because Jesus said He'd make all things work together for good to them that loved Him. So therefore, I believe that every little thing in the little humble ministry that He has given me to help you, His people, to help everyone, and you all are a help to me, helping each other to get to glory. And in that, every little thing has a meaning to me. But it was hard for me to believe that yesterday afternoon when I lost my text up here. I tell you, I never was so gotten in all my life. My wife had given me a new Bible for Christmas, and we know the story how he could kept going to a different scripture. And finally a priest came to him and gave him his Bible. Apparently the pages had stuck together. But notice how Brother Branham says, all things work together for your good. That's a promise to the Christian, to those that love God. All things, no matter how little they are, they're working, working, working. It's like the little ant. He's working, working, working. You may not see instantly any progress, but you plant the seed and you sit back and let the seed do its thing, as it is ordained to bring forth, it shall bring forth. But you know, if you sit and watch that seed, watch it try to grow, that could be the most boring thing on earth, because it's so slow that the human eye cannot see it. But how many have seen those films where they have the time-lapse photography? They take a picture maybe every hour, or one frame every hour. And then when they run it in fast motion, you can actually see that plant go right up. Looks like it takes seconds. Such are the promises of God. All things are working together. They're companions in your life for one purpose, and that's to work out to your edification, to work out for your good the great plan of God. From Shalom, Brother Ramses, sometimes you say, oh, heartaches and trials. Didn't God say all things would work together for good to them that love him, while I'm beating out my symphony, and you find that then you're afflicted and struck down and persecuted, made fun of. Remember, that's the part that goes that way. If that isn't like that, then the symphony is out of tune. The great composer knows exactly what's in it. He knows. He knowed you from the beginning. He put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world. You believe that? He knows what you're supposed to do, no matter how low it goes and how dark it looks. It's got to be that way. But remember, if it goes plumb into the shadow of death, I am the resurrection and life. I'll raise him up again. And when the great director comes down and beats the stick down, then time shall be no more. And when that angel of Revelation, the 10th chapter, puts one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and a rainbow over his head, he swore time shall be no more. When that time comes, you'll rise up from among the dead while the rest of them lays there, and you'll go in. From a greater than Solomon is here, Brother Branham said, you know, so many people always condemn poor old Jonah. He was a prophet. Said he was out of the will of the Lord. I'm going to take up for him for just a little while. I don't believe that that prophet was out of the will of the Lord. I believe the Bible said that all things work together for good to them that love God. A man surrendered his life to God and trying to work and walk in the footsteps of God. God makes everything walk right and work right for him. And that's true. We all know the story of Jonah. He tried to run from the responsibility he had. And we say, you know, he tried to run away from the will of God. He ran right into it. Because those people he was going to worship the great fish god. I think it was Dagon, the fish god. And so when this great fish that swallowed him, because he took on a ship that was going the opposite direction. He didn't want to go there. Storms came up. They didn't understand why the ship was under attack by the storms. He confessed to them what he had done. He said, throw me into the water. They threw him into the water. A fish swallowed him. The fish brought him right to the shore of Nineveh, to the people who worshipped their god was a fish god. And when the great fish came up, and out of the mouth of this fish walked Jonah, the prophet of God, with a message from God. Those people picked up their ears. They listened and they repented. And Nineveh was saved. All things, no matter how little, work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. At this time, we have Brother Ron and Brother Michael bring forth the elements. And we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 34. For I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you. Not something different, but that which I received from the Lord, that is what I've given to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When I was in Cameroon, we had a big obstacle to overcome there. The obstacle wasn't the Godhead. The brothers over there were pretty well open to the understanding of the Godhead. But someone had been through years ago teaching that the appearing and the coming were the same thing. And they didn't understand the difference between the appearing and the coming. And Jesus, it says here that we're to take it until he comes. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And the word coming there, or comes, is the word erkome. And it's the act of arrival only. It's not the act of arrival and subsequent presence, which is parousia. Therefore, whoever eats the bread of or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Years ago, I discussed this with Brother Vail. He said there was a woman he knew that the woman had a problem. She smoked cigarettes. So she was wondering, if she took communion, she felt she would be bringing judgment on herself. But see, there's another promise here as well. He says, therefore, whoever eats and drinks, eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bride, the church. But a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Now the problem is, if you don't take it, he says, you have no part with me. So you have, every time there's a communion service, you have a great decision to make. Do I not take it, and thus say I want no part with him? Or do I take it unworthily, and I know that it's going to bring sickness on me? There was a woman one time, she said, Brother Vail, she says, I don't understand. Therefore, I'm not responsible. And Brother Vail said, you've got it all wrong. He said, you are responsible. Therefore, you had better understand. People say, well, I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. I believe what? What do you believe? I could ask that question throughout the entire message and get hundreds of different answers, thousands of different answers, because they don't know what they believe. That's exactly what Paul said, the Gentiles believe what they know not. Jesus said the same thing. He said, the Gentiles believe what they know not. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Now, what does it mean to judge yourself? The Word is a judge. You lay yourself open to the Word. Lord, am I coming against your Word in any manner? If I am, I pray you would show me and help me to correct it. You said, if I be any otherwise minded, you would reveal it to me. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone's hungry, he should eat at home. So that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will bring further directions. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Brother Michael.